I'm speaking to Jerry Weber. He's the owner of Green Bio. Jerry, a warm welcome to you on our program.
Good day, Gerda, and good day to your listeners. And once again, thank you very much for the opportunities.
Jerry, today I want to talk to you about impacting soil health with bee farming. What are the profit drivers of bee farming?
The four main profit drivers of bee farming are stocking rate, fertility, growth, and carcass quality. If carcass quality has a score of 1, then the other drivers have the following score. Stocking rate has a score of 8, fertility 4, growth 2, and carcass quality then obviously 1. And then what is a ruminant's superpower? And they make protein from grass. If this is fresh green grass or dry lignified grass, that is prevalent for 9 months of the year in southern Africa. In beef farming, we have become obsessed with weaning weights. It is the same problem that the grain farmers have with yields. Weaning weights have nothing to do with profitability. If we take the four markers now mentioned, what is interesting, fertility is negatively affected by both increased stocking rate and by improved growth.
What do we want from our mother animals and heifers?
That they produce a calf from the age of 24 months and from then on yearly. If you breed your heifers to only give their first calf at the age of 36 months, you lose 30% of your potential income. There are farmers that achieved an ICP of less than 365 and their first calf is born at the age of 2. Stud breeders have achieved this and people with composite breeds. Every herd has exceptional fertile animals. These must be identified by early mating. Those that reconceive and exhibit a short corrected ICP are the most fertile. Bulls from the most fertile cows and those with a fast 12-month maturity rate are multi-sired at an early age. Those producing the most calves are the most fertile. Everything in cattle breeding and management revolves around body condition. All breeding and management decisions affect body condition, and body condition affects all breeding and management decisions.
Jerry, how can bee farmers impact soil health?
Soil is the one common factor that combines all the farmers together, except for obviously hydroponics. We have mentioned before already when talking about the five principles of soil health that animal integration is vital. Nowhere in nature does an ecosystem function without animals. In cattle farming, how often do we hear farmers saying that they are actually grass farmers? We can take it one further and say they are actually farming with the soil biology. The healthier your soil biology is, the healthier your grass is, the healthier your animal is. Most bee farmers have a grazing rotation where certain calves are rested for a period. One of the most detrimental effects of leaving animals in a calf for too long and the cattle graze selectively, that cattle start grazing the regrowth. If this regrowth is grazed too often, it becomes overgrazed and eventually the root system and the plant cannot sustain the continuous grazing and the plant dies. The palatable grass is normally affected first, as the cattle graze the regrowth continuously. What is interesting, that as soon as the palatable grasses diminish, the lick intake increases. You now have a situation where you have understocking and overgrazing, and you will have to feed to breed, as the felt is not producing good quality grass anymore. The effect is desertification, where you get larger patches of bare ground that is compacted, and over time nothing grows there anymore, and you get water runoff as the water cannot penetrate that hard, dead crust. Erosion takes place and the value of your fowl deteriorates. Your input costs rise and bee farming is not as profitable as it should be.
Jerry, how can we increase our stocking rate?
Ultra-high density grazing is where we mimic the movement of animals in nature that are chased by predators so that the beef animals move constantly and don't regraze the regrowth, so that the grazed grass has time to recover. Dairies have done this type of grazing management for years already, and all the equipment and management tools are available for the bee farmer to implement the same grazing style.
With ultra-high density grazing, what are we trying to achieve?
The primary goal is improved grass utilization, using all the grass by either having it eaten or trampled so that it is flat on the ground, so that it can either create soil cover and a seedbed, and finally food for the various bacteria in the soil. One of the most important factors is that the unpalatable grasses are also utilized, so that the area must be small enough that the animals utilize all the grass. The grazing effect on the roots and the increased secretion of the root exudates is well documented, where once the grass is grazed, the plant increases its root exudate production, and this stimulates the plant regrowth again. There is a symbiotic relationship between the grass and grazing animals. The biomass is higher after grass is grazed rather than mechanically mowed. When applying ultra-high density grazing, the recovery period is crucial. Farmers on Sauerfeld can regraze the same patch of grass much quicker during the rainy season than farmers that are in drier areas where the rest period can be up to 18 months. Using ultra-high density grazing is a principle and the farmer is the jockey and he must make it work. Understanding why is once again far more important than understanding the how. Farmers that have implemented ultra-high density grazing always say that they have increased their moves per day to get better utilization and improved regrowth.
What are the advantages of ultra-high density grazing?
One is animal monitoring. You will know on the first move in the morning already if there is a sick animal. Farmers that have in excess of 3,000 animals have seen all the animals by 1 o'clock in the afternoon each day. The biomass is improved. The hoof impact on the bare soil creates a seedbed for the next rainy season. Your dung and urine is more evenly distributed, not around the feeding troughs and the water point, and your stocking rate will improve. There's a farmer that changed over from conventional grazing to ultra-high density grazing. He increased his grazing days on a certain piece of land from 7 to 21 days with the same animal numbers. The important part is not that he had longer grazing days from the same plot of land. The important aspect is that he had 14 days more rest on the rest of the farm.
Jerry, what quote do you leave in our midst today?
John Adcox said, "Overgrazing is a factor of time, not animal numbers."
For further information, where can you be contacted?
Yeah, people can contact me on 082-824-7258 or email me at Jerry with a G, G-E-R-R-Y at greenbio.co.za.